In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Last week and today, the gospel lessons have been portions of Jesus' farewell discourses. What Jesus said in these texts happened perhaps only an hour or two before he was betrayed into the hands of the elders, chief priests, and scribes. He celebrated his Last Supper with his disciples back in chapter 13, and in chapter 18 is where Judas brings the temple guard to arrest him. Between these two events, Jesus prepared his disciples for the time that he would no longer be with them and with his church, as he had in the 3 or so years since his baptism. While he would soon be taken from them to be crucified and die for their sins and the sins of the world on the third day and on the third day rise, events which on a few occasions he had told them about already, this time he was also preparing them for his ascension. A little while and you will see me no longer, and again a little while and you will see me. It is to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. So also you have sorrow now, but I will see you again, and your hearts will rejoice, and no one will take your joy from you. In that day you will ask nothing of me. Truly, truly, I say to you, whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Until now you have asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you will receive, that your joy may be full. This is not the Son of Man and Son of God predicting his passion again. He's preparing his disciples and his church for a prolonged absence, so to speak. Jesus, in a little while, will go to the Father, not to be seen again until he comes to judge the quick and the dead. Until that great and dreadful day, he will have sent. He does send and continues to send the Helper, the Holy Spirit, to take from what is of Jesus, what is Jesus, and give it to his people, to his church, as you heard last week, and to execute his threefold conviction of the world, of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. The church has lived these last 2 millennia on Jesus Christ as the Holy Spirit has revealed and given him to her in the word and sacraments. So he has certainly not been absent. In fact, he had promised to be with his church always. But he has not been visible and remains so with these eyes of sinful flesh, as he had been 2 millennia ago. And in these latter days, these last 2 millennia, the church has asked of her head in prayer that which he has commanded her to do. In his name. Were the 1-year lectionary still in use today in this place, today would be called Rogate, the Sunday before the 3 days of Rogation, the 3 days before Christ's ascension. The name comes from today's text, appointed also for Rogate, specifically this line, "Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full." Rogate comes from the Latin word for ask. Today, in a way, is celebrated the gift of prayer. Now, what do the scriptures say about prayer? St. James taught, "Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much." I have often said that this verse teaches that prayer is closely connected to baptism. The righteous man is one made righteous by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. The righteous man prays in the name of Jesus, and his prayer is heard. It avails much. The prayer of the unrighteous man, one that rejects God and his grace, does not avail. You could say that it is not heard because it is not said in Jesus' name. Baptism, which saves and gives the gift of the Holy Spirit, makes you righteous and supplies the faith by which you pray in Jesus' name. And that brings me to this point. Praying in Jesus' name is so much more than merely sticking "in Jesus' name" on the end of your prayers. This isn't some magical incantation that attunes God to your prayers in order to make them effective and fervent. On the contrary, praying in Jesus' name is an acknowledgement that you have no merit or worthiness on your part to approach God. It is to acknowledge that you are unworthy to approach God in prayer, that you are worthy to approach God in prayer only for the sake of Jesus and his merits. Why? Because in the waters of holy baptism, you have put on Christ and his merits are yours. Because by the way of the waters of holy baptism, you are a new creation, and you now yourselves found in Christ and bear his name. There in that sacred flood, you have been made righteous. It is an alien righteousness that you possess, for it is given to you. It is from outside of yourselves, extra nos, as they say in the Latin, and nothing of your own doing. The merits by which you may approach God in prayer are not yours by your works and efforts and worthiness. In and of yourselves, you are completely unworthy, but they are yours by way of the atonement won for you by Jesus on the cross. There in the font, you have been claimed by God as his dear son, and only because of that may you approach God as a son approaches his dear father. Reverend Bernal Eckhart put it this way: to call upon God's name is to claim the privileges which baptism in God's name has granted. When you pray, therefore, pray in Jesus' name, that is, with the claim of being his own possession, having been baptized in that name, that excellent name whose full expression is Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, and know that this triune God must hear you for his name's sake. You pray in Jesus' name because you belong to him. You were bought with a price, not gold or silver, but Jesus' holy precious blood and his innocent suffering and death. His death for sin is your death to sin by way of baptism into his death. And his resurrection to life is your resurrection to life everlasting by way of baptism into his resurrection. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ, St. Paul wrote. Therefore, when you pray in Jesus' name, you are praying to God as your true Father, with all confidence, asking him anything as dear children ask their dear fathers. Reverend Dr. Carl Fikenscher once said, "The sacraments give us what the cross earned." One of those things is the right as sons to ask the Father, and he will answer. In that day you will ask in my name, and I do not say that I will ask the Father on your behalf, for the Father himself loves you, because you have loved me and have believed that I came from God. You only love Jesus and believe that he came forth from God because you have been given faith to believe and trust in him, by way of word and sacraments, especially the sacrament of holy baptism. Therefore, it follows that praying in Jesus' name is not a device to ask for anything that you want and expect that you will get it. Yes, ask your Father in heaven as dear children for your heart's desires. This is good and salutary and commended to you by the Scriptures. Lord, you have heard the desire of the humble. You will prepare their heart. You will cause your ear to hear. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. However, be prepared to hear or receive a no or not yet reply from him. The difficult part to understand in this is that you should rejoice in the answer you receive from the Father, whether it is a yes, a no, or a not now. I say to you, whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. You will receive, Jesus said. But what you receive will not necessarily be exactly that for which you have asked. However, rejoice, because God the Father has answered your prayer for your good, and you receive from him exactly what you need. And in that, your joy will be full. If in his will you need what you desire, God will most certainly grant it for Jesus' sake. If it serves you better not to have what you desire or to have it at another time, then God will withhold your request for Jesus' sake. Again, this goes back to holy baptism, wherein you were given the forgiveness of sins, life and salvation, and faith to receive these blessings. That for which you ask in Jesus' name that serves these ends will always receive a yes from your Father in heaven for Jesus' sake. Because praying in Jesus' name, as mentioned before, and bears repeating, is an acknowledgement that you have no merit in and of yourself to approach God the Father in prayer. Prayer in Jesus' name requires faith and trust in Jesus and his death for your forgiveness, life, and salvation. Faith and trust ask of the Father in Jesus' name, first and foremost, what he has already promised to you. Forgiveness, life, and salvation are what the heart saved by the Lord earnestly desires, what it asks for in Jesus' name. Again, Reverend Eckhart writes, "Ask," Jesus says, "and you will receive," because faith not only knows what to ask, but how, since faith itself comes from the triune God and his name, which is given in baptism. In other words, faith knows for what to ask, and these are forgiveness, life, and salvation, the very things the Father has already promised you for the sake of his Son, Jesus Christ. Now Jesus gives you the gift of prayer because he has returned to the Father. He said, "I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world." The world hated and still hates Jesus, a fact which may seem more overt now than it has been since he walked the earth and the few centuries after. Consequently, the world will hate and does hate those who are his. The world hates you. At times, you will feel overwhelmed and outnumbered. You will feel lonely because the world hates you. Throw in other hardships and tribulations unrelated to your faith in Christ, and those feelings can easily compound. It's quite tempting in those times to neglect your prayer and the word of God and the sacraments and the fellowship of the saints. As Jesus said to the disciples before his seizure and crucifixion, "Behold, the hour is coming. Indeed, it has come when you will be scattered each to his own home and will leave me alone." When it feels like the world is closing in all around you, you so easily forget of Jesus and his promises, and you feel more and more alone. Like the disciples, you scatter. You scatter in an attempt to find a fleeting moment of peace and solace. And then you begin to wonder, did God abandon me? Did God forsake me? You run away from God, or try to, and then wonder why he left you. No, dear hearers, he forsook his Son, and he did so for you, and for his sake gave you the benefits of his life, death, and resurrection. So you are not alone, for God in Christ is with you, even in those times when you feel lonely, and he promises most especially to be among you when you gather with others whom he has claimed. Again, I say to you that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them. You, two or three or many more, gather in his name because he has placed his name upon you in holy baptism. And Jesus is there in that gathering, especially in word and sacrament. What a great gift that when you gather, you together have the privilege to ask anything of God. And this is of great comfort, because even though the world hated and hates him, he has overcome the world. And he has overcome the world for you. Finally, like holy baptism, prayer finds its consummation when Jesus returns. All of those things which the faithful and trusting heart desires, that which is the content of the effective, fervent prayer of the righteous man, which are summed up in forgiveness, life, and salvation, are fulfilled when Jesus returns and grants the finality of those things to those who have been baptized and believed. For throughout the ages, the fervent prayer of the church has always been, "Come quickly, Lord Jesus." In times of peace, and especially in times of persecution, the faithful have always asked for the return of Jesus, even as the martyrs under the altar in heaven wonder how long Jesus will wait. However, on that day, Jesus says, "You will ask him nothing, for everything will be clear and plain and obvious to you." Jesus will be standing among you in the resurrected flesh, having come to judge the quick and the dead. And to you who have believed on his name, the quick, the judgment is not guilty for his sake, and the sentence will be life, eternal life in his presence. And your own eyes will see him, right along with Job. For now, however, ask, and you will receive, that your joy may be full. By grace, through faith, you ask in Jesus' name, and your joy in Christ is full to receive these words. You are baptized. You have put on Christ. You are his. You are forgiven for all of your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.